And will you turn with me in your copy of the Scriptures to Paul's letter to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 9, but we're going to zero in on verses 6 through 9 in our sermon this evening. Paul is expressing his perplexity that the Galatians, having recently been evangelized through his own message, that the Galatians should so quickly have turned away from the gospel of grace that Paul preached. It's almost as if they've been bewitched. Someone has cast a spell over them that they should be so deluded. And Paul challenges their delusion this evening as he writes Galatians 3, beginning at verse 1. Listen, here's the word of God. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, In you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And that's the word of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your working among your people. We thank you for Paul's reminder that the Holy Spirit works miracles of grace as the message of the gospel is heard and received with faith. And so tonight we come to you, people who need to hear your truth, people who need the working of your Holy Spirit, people who are assured that your Spirit does work in the lives of those who receive by faith the message of gospel hope. So we pray that tonight we might experience that gracious work of your Holy Spirit. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father Abraham, as we all know, has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are, not so fast, Paul's opponents would want to challenge that assertion. Well, you might be one of the sons of Abraham, but have you been circumcised? Because if you've not been circumcised, well, I'm not sure that you are a son of Abraham. That's the criticism that Paul's hearers, that Paul's opponents are leveling at him, because Paul is laying aside circumcision. Paul is setting aside the ritual and ceremonial of the law. Paul is proclaiming a gospel in which sinners are invited to trust in Jesus Christ and have Jesus as the God-given righteousness by which sinners alone are redeemed and by which sinners only are redeemed. They challenge Paul, and it would seem that they might be able to do so on good, solid grounds. Paul, look at Genesis chapter 17. God established a covenant with Abraham, a covenant of circumcision. Paul, you just can't set that aside. Surely that's something that has to remain central for those who are Christians in the New Testament era. And Paul's response to that is found in Galatians 3, verses 6 to 9. And Paul's response is a masterstroke. Paul says, well, speaking of Abraham and speaking of Genesis chapter 17, let's go back a few chapters before that. A few chapters before circumcision was even mentioned. What happened then? And Paul takes his Galatian opponents back to the time when we are told that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Paul is quoting not from Genesis 17 when circumcision is introduced. Paul is quoting from Genesis 15, two chapters earlier, but many, many years before. And many, many years before Abraham was circumcised, Abraham's faith in God was credited to him as righteousness. Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has deceived you that you should think otherwise? And so tonight, Paul directs our attention to Abraham's faith, verse 6. He makes a very simple statement about Abraham's faith. In fact, he quotes from the Old Testament. And he says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, Paul's language is very interesting and very significant. Paul doesn't say that Abraham believed in God. And we can be sure that Abraham did believe in God, but there are many, many others who believe in God. In fact, James tells us even the demons believe, and they tremble. There are lots of people with whom you rub shoulders who believe that there is a God. They believe in God. But, says Paul, Abraham believed God. He believed what God said to him. He believed the promise that God made to him, and it was an unlikely promise. God promised Abraham children as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sand in the sea, a seashore. It was a promise so extravagant that you remember Sarah was doubled up with laughter. It was the most ridiculous thing she had ever heard in her long, long life. But Abraham, he believed. And something happened. Something happened that really and truly took place. That faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. That righteousness was credited to Abraham's account. Phil Ryken says that trusting God was like opening a bank account. Immediately, God transferred righteousness into Abraham's account. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus, a comprehensive righteousness, a full and flawless righteousness, became credited to Abraham. That's a marvelous thing. That is a marvelous thing. Paul is holding Abraham up as an example for us. Those who believe God, the promises of God, God's promises are generous and extravagant promises because he holds the Lord Jesus before us and assures us that whoever believes in the Lord Jesus as Savior will have everlasting life. He holds the righteousness of the Lord Jesus before us and assures us that that righteousness becomes ours, not through the things that we do, not through the strivings of our own effort, but simply through trusting the Savior, receiving, as to use the imagery that Luther used, having faith as the hand to receive that which God offers to us in the Lord Jesus. And those blessed ones, those ones are Abraham's real descendants. Verse 9, Paul says, those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Do you believe, not just in God, but do you believe God? You've heard the gospel. And it's a breathtaking gospel. It's a gospel that the accuser sometimes comes to us and nudges us and says, it's too good to be true. Or says, you are too shabby or too shameful to be a candidate for what Jesus offers. You know, we are those who receive the word of God. We believe what God says to us, the message of hope of the gospel. And in that regard, then, we become children of Abraham. And Paul speaks in verses 7 through 9 of the children of Abraham, Abraham's family. What is the great promise that's made to Abraham? Well, verse 8, the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. It is a gospel promise that was made to Abraham. The gospel didn't just begin with the coming of the Lord Jesus. The work of the Lord Jesus, the good news of the gospel, is a message extended by way of types and shadows to the saints of the Old Testament. That's why in Hebrews chapter 11, when the writer describes heroes of the faith, the heroes of the faith he describes are not New Testament heroes. They're Old Testament heroes because the gospel was proclaimed to them. The gospel promise, a promise not just to Jews only, but a promise so comprehensive as to include Gentiles as well, so that all the nations of the earth will indeed be blessed. And that's the great thing that we remember at this time of year. We hear those angels that Luke describes for us in chapter 2, verse 10 of his gospel. The angels speaking and saying, "Fear not, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people." It's a message that's extended to all. The offer of the gospel, the promise of a Savior extended freely to all. And that great blessing, Paul tells us, that's offered in Jesus is the blessing of being justified, being counted as righteous in the presence of God. That of all things is to be prized. To be counted righteous in the sight of God, to have a righteousness imputed to us, even though we're sinful. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Jesus has become for us a righteousness from God. So that, and again, as Martin Luther marvels in that wonderful Latin expression, that we are simul justus et peccator. We are at one and the same time justified and, yes, still sinful. Because even though we're not yet perfected in glory, the righteousness of Christ is credited to us. It's credited to our account so that we can have confidence before God. Even though the devil does come and tempts us to despondency and despair, we are clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Paul says that the scripture preached preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, and almost personifies the word of God, and does so in a way that assures us, as B.B. Warfield points out, that what the scripture says is what God says. The scripture is the word of God, so that believers looking into the scriptures hear and recognize the voice of God, not a dead letter, but a living word empowered and enlivened by the Holy Spirit, so that our hearts are glad that we should have heard such a message as this. And so says Paul, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham had many blessings, but he was blessed by having the righteousness of God credited to his account. The Lord Jesus becomes for us a righteousness from God, and that's the gift that keeps on giving, because the righteousness to which the Savior credits to us is a righteousness that comes bound up with all the myriad blessings of God, those limitless blessings in heavenly places that Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 1. And so our hearts are glad that, yes, we are indeed descendants of Abraham, because we have faith in Jesus the Savior. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of your truth. We thank you that it is a simple word and yet a gloriously rich word. And so we pray that hearing it, we might be glad as we receive it with faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.